Nobody asked you to say anything.
In 1982, my brother was given a Sony CFS500 boombox stereo for his birthday. It was awesome. It had AM/FM radio, dual volume controls, an LED graphic equalizer, output jacks, and big speakers. And all of this was built around a cassette recorder. With the cassette recorder, we could save the songs we heard on the radio to a tape so we could listen to them anytime we wanted. With the audio output, we could send the signal into a regular tape deck and build our own compilation albums. We now owned the world of audio. This was happening all over the country, and people were discovering that they could build their own little audio programs by rearranging miscellaneous recordings into something that held meaning to them. Clips from TV shows and movies.
Crichton, what are you doing, man?
I've just repaired the toaster, sir. Well, I've nearly repaired the toaster.
Oh, no, man, dismantle him. You don't know what a little bleeder's like.
Comedic bits. Prank phone calls.
But the reason why the curse works is because all children have brain damage.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, I bought glasses there. My name is Saul Rosenberg.
Yes?
And my eyes are going crazy.
Poetry.
Love is not all. It is not meat, not drink, nor slumber, nor a roof against the rain.
And music. These all came together into a personal and artistically organized creation, usually consisting of a theme. The tapes were typically made for a specific person and were meant to convey how the creator was feeling at the time. With the advent of computers, MP3 players, and digital content, this time-consuming and thoughtful form of expression has been lost. This program is looking to bring it back. Back then, we didn't have social media. We didn't call people our friend until we shared with them who we felt we really were, what we liked to do, the type of music we liked to listen to, the sort of movies we liked to watch. We would spend hours poring over what to share and how to present it. We would meet new people and make new friends, and if we were lucky, we could fall in love. All of this could be done simply by handing someone a plastic cassette and saying to them, "I made you this mixtape." I wish there was a social excuse to make you a cassette tape. I teach you all about my life from side B to side A. Fast forward, rewind. Whenever you mind. This is my favorite time of year. It's Halloween. Those of you that listen to the show will know that I am big into holidays, and this is the top of the heap as far as I'm concerned. I like Christmas because of all of the fun associated with decorating and Santa and the kids and the magic. I like Thanksgiving too, mostly because I like the food and sleeping after. But nothing compares to Halloween. This is the only time of year where everyone is free to dress up as cowboys and princesses, vampires and zombies, and nobody thinks anything about it. I usually decorate the yard and set up some sort of haunted house or a ghostly illusion to spook the kids. I have no problem admitting that I get tremendous joy in putting on a detailed and over-the-top costume and acting like an idiot. I wind up appearing like a cosplay attendee heading off to Comic-Con. Why? Childhood emotional trauma. I remember wanting to dress up like Indiana Jones when I was 7. All I had for a costume was a ratty old leather hat and a rope that I pretended was a whip. The nearest thing I could get to the khaki pants and a leather coat was a pair of brown corduroys and a dress shirt. I felt good about it until I got to school. Some other kid had a perfect indie costume, and as soon as I saw it, I felt stupid. Then someone asked me what I was supposed to be. I said I was dressed up like a hunter. And at that moment, I vowed that I would never allow myself to feel that way again. I'm willing to bet that every other 40-year-old nerd you see that has a really impressive costume could probably share a similar story with you. At any rate, here's what I've learned. If you decide to dress up on Halloween, go all in. If you don't, you'll end up feeling like that 7-year-old kid holding a rope that isn't a whip and will be looking at a bag full of rocks instead of candy. That's right, overcompensate. It will make you happy, and everyone around you will have a good laugh. And isn't that the point? Have a good time out there. This week, we'll listen to a tape that celebrates the tricks or treats. It includes spooky stories from a record that I remember checking out of the Gardner Public Library when I was little, and that has haunted me my entire life. It also has some good old-timey holiday classics. Most people don't even know they exist. Happy Halloween, everybody! Hold on. I need to press play.
Science is real. Monsters are not.
We don't know that, sir.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen. That the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Haunted house. Not a window was broken, and the paint wasn't peeling. Not a porch step sagged, yet there was a feeling that beyond the door and into the hall, this was the house of no one at all. No one who breathed, nor laughed, nor ate, nor said I love, nor said I hate. Yet something walked along the stair, something that was and wasn't there. And that is why weeds on the path grow high, and even the moon races fearfully by. For something walks along the stair, something that is and isn't there.
star was in sight in a graveyard by a church way up on the hill. Well, the ghosts come out to play. Then I thought I heard one say, I've got you, I'll keep you, I always will.
Now I've got you where I want you, I'm gonna keep you where I've got you. For you, the one that shot my great-grandpa. Now I told you I would get you. Now if I saw you, now I've got you. For you, the one that stole my great-grandpa.
Now on that very same night, that old tomcat started a fight, and this is the way it all did sound to me. You know I couldn't stand there. I didn't like them cats, you should know that. And I didn't like them ghosts either, so I looked down to my feet and I said, Pete, now come on and do your duty and carry me home. When that old ghost looked up to me and said,
I've got you where I want you. I'm gonna keep you where I've got you. For you the one that shot my great-grandpa.
There once was a sad little goblin who had a broken broom. When he went anywhere, it would wobble in the air, and his heart would fill with gloom. He tried so hard to fix it every night, but he just couldn't get it working right. The wobbling goblin with the broken broom could never fly too high. For right at the takeoff, another piece would break off, and soon he would be dangling in the sky. Each evening, just as he would leave the ground, his radio would say,
Control tower to Goblin, your broomstick is wobbling, you'd better make a landing right away.
It soon got so he could only ride when the witches took him piggyback, until at last he used his brain and bought himself an aeroplane. So if you'll look for him on Halloween, you'll see him zip and zoom. No harm can befall him, no longer can they call him
the wobbling goblin with the broken broom.
Sky. Each evening, just as he would leave the ground, his radio would say,
Control tower to goblin, your broomstick is wobbling. You better make a landing right away.
It soon got so he could only ride when the witches took him piggyback. Until at last he used his brain and bought himself an aeroplane. So if you'll look for him on Halloween, you'll see him zip and zoom. No harm can befall him, no longer can they call him the Wobbling Goblin with the Broken Broom.
Count Dracula sleeps in this coffin, but rises every night at sunset. Chick is right. This is awful silly stuff. Dracula.
Chick!
What's the matter now?
You know that person you said that there's no such person?
Yes.
I think he's in there, in person. I was reading a sign over here, this one down here.
Yeah.
Dracula's legend. All of a sudden I heard...
That's the wind.
It should get oiled.
Listen, stop reading this thing. That's a lot of phony baloney to fool McDougal's customers. Now, fold up that canvas and get busy. Come on.
Dracula can change himself at will into a vampire bat, flying about the countryside. Flying.
Listen, you're making enough noise to wake up the dead.
I don't have to wake him up. He's up. I saw a hand.
You saw a hand?
Uh-huh.
Where?
Right over there.
Let me see it.
Right over there.
Where is it?
I saw a hand there.
You don't know what you're talking about. You're all excited reading this legend. Now listen. Listen, Wilbur. I know there's no such a person as Dracula. You know there's no such a person as Dracula.
But does Dracula know it?
Now listen to me. McDougal will be here any minute with the insurance agent. Now get to work.
Keeps himself alive by drinking the blood.
Getting to be ridiculous.
Well,
what? Are you trying to tell me that candle moves? Look, wait a minute. Candles can't move.
This one did.
Yeah, watch it. Keep your eye on it. Is it moving? Huh? It's not moving, is it?
No.
Well, use your brains a little bit. Let's get this job finished.
Thank you. cheer the great pumpkin rises out of the pumpkin patch that he thinks is the most sincere. He's got to pick this one. He's got to. I don't see how a pumpkin patch can be more sincere than this one. You can look all around and there's not a sign of hypocrisy. Nothing but sincerity as far as the eye can see.
And what goes on when it gets late? Along about midnight, the ghosts and banshees get together for a jamboree. There's ghosts with horns and saucer eyes. Some have fangs about this size. Some short and fat, some tall and thin. And some don't even bother to wear their skin.
I'm telling you, brother, it's a fearful sight just to see what goes on in the night.
When the spooks have a midnight jamboree, they break it up with a fiendish glee.
Ghosts are bad, but the one that's cursed is the headless horseman, he's the worst.
When he goes jogging across the land, holding his noggin right in his hand, demons take one look and groan.
Then they hit the road for parts unknown.
Well, there's no rage like a spook that's burned.
The ghost don't like him and he's really burned.
He swears to the longest day he's dead.
Well, I'll show them that I can get ahead.
Do, do, wow, 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 wow.
So close all the windows.
Lock all the doors.
Unless you're careful, why he'll get yours.
Don't think he'll hesitate a bit, cause you clip your top if it will fit.
He likes them little, he likes them big. Put him in the middle or wear a wig.
Black or white or even red.
The headless horseman needs a head.
With a hip, hip, hip and a clippity clop.
Why, he's out looking for a head to chop. So don't stop to figure out a plan. Cause you can't reason with a headless man.
With a hip, hip, hop and a clippity clop. Look out!
We know what we're talking about, believe me. You better watch your cues, but take a look at the people who ignored the old good book. Change your ways, you'll find it pays, cause you can't be a haint if you ain't kind of crazed, I guess you'd say. Take our word, we know what we're talking about. You know, this is a pretty spooky thing we're doing here. You don't mind if I turn on another light, do you? Hmm?
There was a raging storm at sea. The wind howled and lashed around many a snug house in many a little town up and down the coast of Maine. Many a ship at sea was in trouble that night, and some were never heard from again. "I hear a baby crying out there," said a woman in one warm kitchen in one of those little towns. But the rest of the family said it was the wind howling, or seals maybe, for a frightened baby seal often cries like a baby. The woman said no. She knew in her heart it was a baby. "How could it be?" said the others. Nobody went out to look. The next morning they found a cradle washed ashore out of some ship, and they took it up to the house, for it was a good cradle, and they used it for every baby that came along year after year. But there was one strange thing about it. Every time the wind blew a gale, the cradle would rock by itself. All by itself, in the warm room, with the wind roaring outside, the cradle would rock just as if someone was sitting by it, gently rocking a child. This happened so often that the family got used to it. No harm ever came of it, and the baby liked it. So they just got used to it and didn't mind. Then one time, the woman's sister came to visit. As they were setting the table for supper one night, the sister glanced into the next room. "Who is that woman rocking the cradle?" she said. "Woman? That's no woman. The cradle rocks by itself." "It is too a woman," said the sister. "She has long black hair, and her face is white and sad, and she's sitting there rocking the cradle and bending over the baby." Nobody else could see her. But the mother grabbed up her baby, and the next day they took the cradle outdoors and chopped it up for kindling wood. And when the wood was burning in the fire, they could hear some baby crying somewhere, crying and crying for its cradle. But after that, they never heard it again.
Ain't you heard about that funeral?
No, I ain't heard nothing.
Well, look out, I'll tell you.
With a very crooked nose, he lived out in a log hut. They called him Old Man Mose.
Yeah.
Early one morning, I knocked at his door. I didn't hear a single sound. I ain't gonna do that no more. 'Cause I believe,
Old Man.
I believe,
Old Man.
I believe,
Old Man.
That Old Man Mose is dead. I'm telling you, I believe,
Old Man.
I do believe,
Old Man.
I believe,
Old Man,
that Old Man Mose is dead now.
We believe,
Mose kicked the bucket.
We believe,
Mose kicked the bucket.
We believe,
Mose kicked the bucket.
We believe he's dead.
Oh, baby,
we believe,
Mose kicked the bucket.
We believe,
Mose kicked the bucket.
We believe,
Mose kicked the bucket.
We believe he's dead.
Now look at here. I went around the back and I looked through the crack. I seen an old man laying flat on his back.
Yeah.
Now if Old Man Mose was dead asleep, I did not know. 'Cause after looking through that window, I ain't gonna do that no more.
Why?
I found out.
Old Man.
'Cause I found out.
Old Man.
I found out.
Old Man.
That Old Man Mose is dead. I'm telling you, I found out.
Old Man.
What it's all about.
Old Man.
I found out.
Old Man.
Old Man Mose is dead now.
Mose kicked
the bucket,
we found out.
Mose kicked the bucket,
we found out.
Mose kicked the bucket,
we found out.
Mose kicked the bucket,
we found out.
Mose kicked the bucket,
we found out.
Mose kicked the bucket,
we found out he's dead.
Something evil's lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stops your heart. You try to scream, but terror takes the sound before you make it. You start to freeze as horror looks you right between the eyes. You're paralyzed, 'cause this is thriller, a thriller night, and no one's gonna save you from the beast about to strike. Thriller, a thriller night, you're fighting for your life inside a killer thriller tonight. The night creatures crawl and the dead start to walk in their masquerade. And there's no escaping the jaws of the alien this time. This is the end of your life. 'Cause this is thriller, a thriller night. 'Cause I can feel you more than any ghost would ever dare try. Thriller, a thriller night. You're fighting for your life inside a killer, chiller, dealer, thrill her tonight. 'Cause this is thriller, a thriller night. So let me hold you tight and share a killer thriller. Ooh, tonight. I'm gonna throw you a knife.
Didn't see me climb through the window. Nobody had to open that door. I just climbed right through the wall, and I want you, one and all, to stand aside and let me have the floor. Take a look, I'm not such a stranger. Here's the face you cookies all ought to know. You can tell me I'm not wanted, but the joint will still be haunted, 'cause I'm the ghost of Smokey Joe. Remember when I kicked the bucket in my mansion up on Stryver's Row? When they came and took me off in a zillion-dollar coffin, 'cause I'm the ghost of Smokey Joe. Tell me, do you remember Minnie?
Yeah, we remember Minnie.
That frail I never found.
You never recognize your Minnie.
You mean to say that Minnie quit kicking the gong around? I've got a date on my estate down in Hades. Call my chariot so I can go. And should the mooch you're walking, just tell her you've been talking to the ghost of Smokey Joe. Yes, I remember Minnie, she's that frill I never found. You mean to say that Minnie quit kicking the gong around? I've got a date on my state down in Hades. Come and get it so I can go. And should the mooch you're walking, just tell her you've been talking to the ghost of Smokey.
Pieces of candy. I got a chocolate bar.
I got a quarter.
I got a rock.
Trick or treat!
Gee, I got a candy bar.
Boy, I got three cookies.
Hey, I got a package of gum.
I got a rock.
Trick or treat! I got a popcorn ball.
I got a fudge bar.
I got a pack of gum.
I got a rock.
Cyrus Jones, 1810 to 1913.
made his great-grandchildren believe you could live to 103. 103 is forever when you're just a little kid. So Cyrus Jones lived forever, grave digger. When you dig my grave, could you make it shallow so that I can feel rain? Grave digger. Muriel Stonewall, 1903 to 1954, lost both of her babies in the Second Great War. Now you should never have to watch as your only children lowered in the ground. You should never have to bury your own babies. Grave digger, when you dig my grave, could you make it shallow so that I can feel rain? Grave digger.
Once there was a man who fell in love with a beautiful girl, and before the next full moon rose in the sky, they were wed. To please her husband, the young wife wore a different gown each night. Sometimes she was dressed in yellow. Other nights she wore red or blue or white. And she always wore a black velvet ribbon around her slender neck. Day and night she wore that ribbon, and it was not long before her husband's curiosity got the better of him. "Why do you always wear that ribbon?" he asked. She smiled a strange smile and said not a word. At last her husband got angry, and one night he shouted at his bride, "Take that ribbon off! I'm tired of looking at it!" "You will be sorry if I do," she replied, "so I won't." Every morning at breakfast, the husband ordered his wife to remove the black velvet ribbon from around her neck. Every night at dinner, he told her the same thing. But every morning at breakfast and every night at dinner, all his wife would say was, "You will be sorry if I do, so I won't." A week passed. The husband no longer looked into his wife's eyes. He could only stare at that black velvet ribbon around her neck. One night, as his wife lay sleeping, he tiptoed to her sewing basket. He took out a pair of scissors. Quickly and quietly, careful not to awaken her, he bent over his wife's bed, and snip went the scissors, and the velvet ribbon fell to the floor, and snap, off came her head. It rolled over onto the floor in the moonlight, wailing tearfully. I told you you'd be sorry.
What a da 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 deo 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 what a woo woo
in a house upon a rock along the countryside. At precisely 12 o'clock, the spooks began to ride. Swinging and seeing 12 ticks, swinging and seeing hot licks with the medium in trance. How the horns begin to dance. Oh, wah-doo-doo-wah-doo-doo-wah-doo-doo-wah-doo-doo-wah-doo-wah-doo-wah-doo-wah-doo-wah-doo-wah-doo-wah.
Swinging and seeing 5 men,
swinging and seeing
dive men. When the trumpet blasted out,
all spooks begin to shout.
Oh, wah doo doo 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 wah doo day.
That music came through so sweetly low down, yet nobody knew who was riffing around.
Oh, swinging at the sea and
black coats,
swinging at the sea and blue notes. Why the trumpet could have won a cup. It's jiving broke the CS up.
And who do you think did the tune so well?
No one else but Gabriel.
Bum-ba-da-do-le-do-day, ba-ba-da-da-da-da-do-le-do.
Da-do-say-ba-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do
the seas. Black cats, yellow cats, gray cats, blue cats, all the hats from miles around. Swinging, 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 swinging at the sea.
She's alive! Alive!
Well, that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. Want to hear it again? Or do you have an interest in hearing a previous episode? Visit the archive on our website. That's imadeyouthismixtape.net. We are also available through Podomatic and iTunes. Tell the world you are a tapehead and pick up I Made You This Mixtape gear in our online store. As always, our show is sponsored by the Community School in Camden, online at thecommunityschool.org. Side Country Sports in downtown Rockland, online at sidecountrysports.com. Main Street Meats, located in the State of Maine Cheese Building on Route 1 in Rockport, on the web at mainmeat.com. And our local family-owned and operated Dunkin' Donuts at four locations, Rockland, Waldoboro, Rockport's Dead River Store, and in the Rockland Walmart. This has been a Bungalow Broadcasting production, overseen by Renee Philbrook. If you would like to drop us a note or send us your mixtape to be played on a future show, you can do so via the Postal Service. Send your correspondence to I Made You This Mixtape, P.O. Box 1149, Rockland, Maine, 04841. Guidelines for submissions can be found online at our website. Again, that's imadeyouthismixtape.net. Please provide the story behind your mixtape. We know that there is one. This is Nate Greenleaf for I Made You This Mixtape, telling you to remember to turn your Dolby on and the auto reverse off. Until next time. A social excuse to make you